this show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Welcome, Indie Comic Book Noise listeners. This is a very special bonus-ode of Indie Comic Book Noise, mainly to see if Andrew the LA Rabbit Eye can figure out how to put together an episode.
Nope.
So the listeners are coming along on this journey. And joining me are two of the regular gang, Phil up in Canada. Say hi, Phil. And Whirlwind X and Kevin providing the necessary technical support.
Oh, yeah. Tech support. Good times.
So that's why this is a bonus. It's going to be unnumbered. Hopefully it comes out. Maybe with a number, maybe not.
Maybe we'll staple it to another one.
Yeah, you're on the maiden voyage, so fingers crossed and let's pop the champagne. Indie Comic Book Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. We're talking about any books that we got that are not big two. This is all language is allowed on Indie Comic Book Noise, but if you want something a little more genteel, you can tune over to Marvel Noise, which is our other show where we talk about all things Marvel. So thank you two for joining me. And I thought we'd just talk about a few books. I can start off unless one of you guys want to jump in.
Nope, this is your show.
Weren't we talking about Valiant this time, Andrew?
Don't we talk about Valiant every time?
I could talk about a Valiant book.
Is there some lack of Valiant on Indie Comic Book Noise that I'm not aware of?
I don't think we talked about them last episode, did we? I think there's two episodes without any Valiant, right?
Whoa. Well, we might have to correct that then. You got a book you guys want to jump in on?
Kevin? No.
All right. I'll start with non-Valiant talk then. You guys teasing me with a Valiant. I do apologize. I have a little bit of a cold, folks, so stick with me. But hopefully I won't blow out your eardrums with my coughing. I'm pretty quick on the mute button. I'm going to talk about one of my Kickstarters, which is The Magician, The Long Day. This was about a hitman that works with the mob, and he's very unassuming. And he's called The Magician, and he has business cards because, you know, he makes things disappear. So it's a black and white book. It's a Brown, DNS, and Jones are the credits. But I thought they had a big credit page, but apparently they... Oh, yes, it's on the backside. David M. Brown, story written, art illustration, DNS, letters, graphics, Rob Jones. So it's just kind of if you like sort of crime, gritty crime, mm-hmm. with like mob bosses and payoffs and people getting tortured and one guy gets cut in half. He's tied upside down and the mob boss takes a giant two-handed saw and bisects him.
I thought this was about magicians.
Well, a different sort of, you know, there's all sorts of magicians. Yeah, the magician, so he's this sort of, like I said, regular-looking dude with glasses and an overcoat. And his main two weapons are these two axes. He uses these double-headed, and he just goes in and, you know, does serious damage to people. But it's basically, you know, a deal gone wrong, sort of almost like Pulp Fiction. This bag gets stolen that belongs to this boss, mm-hmm. and the magician gets put on the case, and his little business card making problems disappear since 1958. But he gets sort of thrown some shade that he might be involved, so they're going to go after him. So he has to like go and clean this all out and fix it from the get-go. And he has his own little sort of reminiscent of Sherlock Holmes. He uses this young, I'm going to guess homeless, but young sort of street person as part of his advance team. And it's moody black and white artwork. The only thing I really enjoyed, the only thing that kind of left me a little was the magician does have these dream sequences where he's sort of haunted by, I think, some of the people he's murdered, and some they're pretty violent and everything. And dream sequences never work for me usually.
Me neither. Or those like trippy type issues. I'm not big on those either, like psychedelic type ones.
But I mean, that's a pretty like, it's a real hefty book. And everything's great, and I like the art, and it is a good story. And that's literally like four pages in it or something. And I understand they want to show the guy's troubled or whatever. That stuff never works for me for whatever reason.
So he's a normal guy, though? Like, he doesn't have magic powers?
No, he's a regular guy. The trick is making problems disappear. That's why they call him the magician.
Oh, okay.
But he has no... He's just this regular-looking dude
that swings these
axes. Yeah. I mean, he's pretty handy with the axes. Like, I wouldn't mess with him. But it was just a funny... Like I said, it's one of these jobs where it goes wrong and there's the twists and turns. I don't want to... Obviously, that's the fun and the joy is taking those twists and turns with it. But like I said, kind of sort of a Pulp Fiction sort of job, but not the glib pop culture references. Yeah. More gritty. I guess like 70s type of thing. But that whole thing where like the job goes bad and all these party sort of intersect. But as you guys know, I really enjoy black and white books, especially I think crime kind of lends itself.
Yeah, it's a good fit for crime for sure.
Because I don't know that I need like all this like red. Like if it was a color book, there'd be a ton of blood splash all over the place and everything, which could work. But I think the black and white says it all.
And plus it shows the detail a bit more sometimes, doesn't it?
Well, I think there's a suggestion of mood and atmosphere. I don't know about the detail as much, but the shadows really become a design and storytelling element, like what's in shadow and what's out of shadow.
Is this an open-ended story or a continued one, or is it like a one and done?
This feels like a one and done, but certainly you could have more stories in this world. You know, like you could have this character cross with something else or whatever, but this is a complete, entirely full story, and it's oversized. I don't know how many pages, but it's one of those heavy ones, and it's a 5D Comics, Fifth Dimension Comics is the publisher, and this was one of my recent
Kickstarter.
I'm trying to let me see if it's going to tell me, because I'm pretty bad. Like, that's the fun thing when you do enough Kickstarters. I fell into the weird... I got some email from Kickstarter that I'm like a super backer or something. And the upside of that means basically I forget half the time. So it's like, hey, I forgot I'd wanted that. I mean, my personal advice to Kickstarter people is be judicious with your updates. Have them, but don't, like some places really like to jam out. Maybe some people like that. I am more than happy just to get when there's some particular, you have something to say. Some of them, they just seem to go, you know, like every day there's an update, which is, and I understand your excitement and everything. I don't know, maybe more people like that. But I am much more for the letting it go. I did $12 was my pledge.
Okay, that's good.
And I got a 60-page book, according to this, signed by the writer and the digital one.
Right?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, 60 pages is a bit, like I said, it's a big book. And it flows well. You know, that kind of, I mean, there are some wordy sections, but you know, a lot of it's just this bad dude showing up kicking ass. So, yeah, that was my... That's my first book on the plate, but I got more unless you boys want to jump in. I don't want to hog this thing.
I read something I know Kevin did. I'm not sure if you did, but I read the first 5 trades for Revival, finally.
Oh, yes.
That's one of those books where I've been buying all the trades without trying it. And how far did you read, Kevin?
I think I've read them all. I think it was a few issues behind at a time.
This ends with the Chew crossover. So you probably, I'm pretty sure you read to there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, way past
that. Oh, wait, I think I read the, I didn't read that far. I only read the first trade or two. But this is the town where the people come back from the dead.
Yeah.
Correct, yeah. By Tim Seeley and Mike Norton, who I'm big fans of. Tim Seeley for Hack and Slash, obviously. And Mike Norton, I've always loved his superhero stuff.
When you mentioned the Chew crossover, that's what actually triggered my... I'm like, well, that's right. They did this weird, two totally different books visually and stylistically. I'm like...
Yeah. My collection only has the one story. I don't get both of them. So
really?
Yeah, which is unfortunate. Because for that one, you'd have to get the Chew book.
Hmm.
Right? So I don't know what I missed. Maybe you can fill that in for me a bit. But yeah, so I read the first 5 trades, and I got to say, I was really excited for this one, but I found it a really slow burn, and I had a lot of trouble. I was kind of forcing myself to read it, but at the same time, I was enjoying it, the character development and everything, but nothing's really resolving or happening really in the 5 trades I read.
That's interesting.
Did you guys get that feeling at all? Or
my problem was similar. I didn't have much interest in being in the small town. I left a small town. I'm not really, I don't have this romantic urge to revisit. So you need to kind of hook me in more. And that's why I kind of let it fade away. I mean, it's really well done. Like you say, they're two great creators.
Yeah. But, and there's little things, really cool moments. There's this old man who's kind of has a personal war with the sheriff. And he'll sneak calls to his grandson and sneak him to run away and convince him to run away, stuff like that. They have this feud going on. There's good character moments like that, but there's nothing really shocking happening. You're not really finding out the mysteries. I would have never read this far if I didn't buy the books already. When I pick something up, without reading it, all the books, it's because it is something I think will be good. And it is good. It's just, I don't know, nothing really to grab me, I found.
I don't know.
And the Chew crossover was all right.
I don't know if I would read it in trade. I don't know if I would be that interested that much to read that many in a row. Does that sound weird? Reader.
That makes sense to me, because maybe as a monthly thing, I would have enjoyed it more with little doses.
Yeah, I just...
I think that makes sense, too. Yeah. Some things you don't want to get in that kind of big... You want to sit and kind of Yeah. Just get a sampling of it. But if you spend a lot of time, I found that with a lot of the newspaper strip type stuff, because it's so repetitive and everything, you just can't read a lot of it at once, or you feel like it's kind of a grind.
Like, I always find they're like going somewhere with the, like, I guess, like, not a similar story, but like, Why the Last Man, like, the whole thing wasn't about, like, finding out why, or like the cure or whatever to like the men dying type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not
post-apopsicle is always fun, though.
Yeah, it's more of a journey thing, and to see what's going on with the people. Because they want to deal with the people, so then, like, I don't know how far that goes, though, but they, like...
I'm at the part where, what was the last part? I think the piranhas, remember all the, or the fish, the dead fish?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because... Oh, no, I was actually a trade past that, I think.
Because there's always, like... Like, the response, like, the initial response, like, what do we do with these people?
Yeah.
And then there's always, like, new people coming to, like, deal with the issues, or the people there, like, getting messed up or whatever.
Yeah, there was, like, a serial killer going around, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there's just weird stuff.
Yeah, that old man revival. Oh, yeah, and people are trying to steal, like, sell off the body parts and stuff, dead people from that town. Like, it's a big smuggling thing. I think it's, if I remember correctly, it's so people can eat them.
Yeah. Or then you think about the rivers that are going through that area. Like, there's all the stories about, like, people trying to take advantage of the area. Or they think
and
that,
I guess, like, and you I don't, guess you those don't see... soul things are aliens, maybe? I don't
know. Because you don't see in the series, like, a lot of how life is, like, outside the town. So once you do, you're like, oh, that's how people outside are, like, reacting to everything.
Yeah, because they go to New York in the fourth or fifth trade, I believe.
And then they have those weird yellow spirit-like dudes that you can't understand what they're saying, and you're always trying to figure out, like, what's going on there?
Well, I don't like those parts. I don't like those things.
Oh.
Those are the parts I tend to like the least, I found. And I also didn't like the storyline where the girl, the revival sister, where she met up with that YouTuber. Like a Steve-O type guy, you know?
Yeah. It makes sense that one of those guys would be around doing something.
Yeah, some of it was good, though. Like, yeah. But, yeah, there's one part where he's doing a YouTube video and he's, like, cutting off his penis and stuff. Because I guess it grows back. I don't know. I didn't know they can grow limbs back. But like, yeah, weird shit like that.
Well, yeah, because there's the creepy people where, like, they're, like, ripping out their teeth or something. And then... Like, their room's full of teeth, and, like, they just get the teeth back, so it's, like, really messing them up.
Yeah, or, and Nora has a wife that's dead, and she just keeps trying to kill herself all the time.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, there's definitely some weird moments, but, yeah, I think that was my mistake, reading all five trades at once.
I don't know, there's
some... But still
there's
a good book. I think a lot of people would like it, and I do think it's a good book, so... Just maybe not completely my cup of tea, I guess.
Is it still ongoing, do you guys know?
I think so.
Yeah, I think they're wrapping up soon. I don't know if they've said when the final issue is. It's weird. Yeah, I feel like a lot.
I see it being like a 50-issue thing. Maybe.
Yeah, I think they're on, what are they? They're in like the low 40s, I think, right now. But it seems like a lot of my Image books are like wrapping up. Like Revival is supposed to wrap soon. Chew's wrapping soon.
Yeah, I got to catch up on Chew.
Well, I guess the Brubaker, Phillips, like their series... Series have already, well, not everyone.
Well, he has a new one. He has a new one that just came out.
Yeah, that was weird. I didn't know how to feel exactly. Like, usually I read a Brubaker Phillips book and I'm just like, yeah, that's awesome, and you know. But this one, there was like a weird turn partway through.
Is it another criminal story type one?
I don't know. I don't know if I should. No one's gonna listen to this. No one listens to us, right? So I can just blow what happens.
Spoil things all the time.
Spoil away.
Now, there's like a weird supernatural angle, like halfway through the book. Like I thought it was supposed to be like straightforward.
Okay, that gets me more interested into it, because I love the criminal stuff, but I got like I kind of had enough of it, you know?
Yeah.
By the end.
Like the criminal stuff is good. And then Fatale, I thought Fatale was pretty awesome, but I think I knew going in like what it was gonna be about, and
yeah,
like,
Fatale has all kinds of crazy supernatural stuff.
Well, yeah, I was gonna talk about that on an upcoming show. I just started reading that one.
Maybe they kind of hid like, or they wanted the surprise to be there for Kill or Be Killed. which is fine. Like, that's totally on me if I'm like, if it was out there and I didn't, because I just auto add, so I don't really read the solicits for books like that. Like, I'm buying them anyways. I don't really, like, that's not for me. But yeah, it was very like real worldly and everything. Like a guy complaining about the world and, you know, economic problems or global problems or how everyone's weak and stupid or whatever. And well, he's murdering people. So I'm just like, oh, okay. But, you know, the guy's just complaining, not really offering up any solutions or what you should be doing other than killing people. You know, it's you know, you say the world's chaotic, so I'm going to kill these people. And I don't know how that gets to the less chaotic or the world you want type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they'll get to that in the book. Like, maybe the guy's just angry, like, or whatever, you know.
What's the supernatural aspect?
Well, see, that was the favorite device that Andrew likes, where you start, like, you see something from, like, the modern day, and then you flash back.
Yeah, wait, I'm not familiar with that. People can do that in comics now?
But I think it's sort of like the before the credits scene, like in a Bond movie type of thing, where you start with some action and you're just like, oh, okay. And then they flash back to show you how that guy got in that like messed up situation where he's murdering people. And he's like, I'm not a terrible person and all this stuff. And then he's like, wait a second. Just let me flash back here and I'll show you how this started like a month ago. And then you go back a month.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that storytelling. Sounds innovative. I mean, I predict other people might jump on that and use it.
The other one I think that's really innovative is when a story says, well, that'd be like skating on thin ice. And the panel where it says skating on thin ice overlaps with a panel where someone's literally skating on thin ice.
Whoa. Like, that's too meta for me, Kevin.
Yeah, that's Watchmen-esque right there. But yeah, like this demon or, well, this guy, it seems like he might be messed up in the head. Like, I don't want to say, like, that is definitely a supernatural comic. Like, I don't know if it is.
Could you want to pass judgment on a guy that murders people?
That says he has to murder people. So, I was wondering, well, is this like a Miss Misery situation from Sleeper that Brubaker and Phillips also did, where she had to, like, when she fell in love, she had to keep on, like, killing people or doing horrible things so that she wouldn't get sick. So that was just, like, a really messed up relationship. So I'm like, I don't know, maybe this guy has to kill people for some, like, weird reason. So anyways, there's, like, this demon, I don't know what to call it, like, smoke monster, weirdo, whatever supernatural thing comes to him, and he has to do some stuff. And then he's just like, well, I don't believe this. Like, but then he starts getting ill and he has a messed up leg and all this stuff. And he's like, well, maybe I got to go around killing people. Son. And then, you know, he does something like that. And then he's like, oh, I'm feeling good now. Maybe there's something to this weird demon thing that I saw in the mirror that might not be there. Which is weird. Because I thought it was going to be like super real world like. And then you throw that in there and I'm like, oh, maybe that was just like the underpinnings or the backstory, like the real world commentary, and then we're gonna do this other stuff on the side. I would have been fine if it would have been total like real world deconstruction vigilante type of stuff, but there's this other weird stuff too.
I like when they do the weird stuff. I really like that that's supervillain one they did. I forget what it was called.
Incognito?
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Yeah, that one was good too.
And of course, I loved Sleeper. I was a big Sleeper fan.
Yeah.
So I like when they do the weird stuff. But at the same time, Criminal is great too. And Fatale, I only read the first trade so far. I'm a little confused or something, but I liked what I read so far.
The Fatale was really good, but that was like total real world.
That I didn't like.
Man, so good. I hear everyone's saying that's like so good, and they're like, oh, this is my favorite work they did, stuff like that.
Yeah, I just got bored. And remember how mad I was about the oversized edition?
Yes, I remember that.
Because it was really the same side inside the pages. Just the cover.
Yeah. But yeah, Fatal was short anyways. It was only 12 issues. And they like resolved their mystery.
Fatal?
Yeah.
Fatal.
No, I have five trades of that.
Fade out?
Oh, fade out. I thought you meant fatal.
No.
Oh, I thought you meant fatal too.
I'm getting my books confused, apparently.
See that? I solved the riddle of how to get Kevin into his review quick. You just have to think of something that he probably read and then just bring it up, you know?
Yeah.
Steve will be happy.
You know what else?
Mind tricked him.
Hey, you know what else Mike Norton drew us?
Battle Pug.
Isn't that over?
I thought it was like an online thing that he does once in a while.
Yeah, but isn't that ending or it's over?
I think there's two trades out. That's how I read it.
Doesn't he like drawing pugs anyway? Isn't that something that he'll just keep
doing? Yeah, he's a big pug
fan. Probably.
No, he's two.
You remember, Andrew, we reviewed Archer and Armstrong A&A?
Oh, yeah.
So Mike Norton's like on the book with the fifth issue.
Oh, yeah? For like a while?
Yeah, he's doing, maybe a whole arc. I don't know. He's done two issues so far.
I could see his art working really well with them.
Yeah. So like the fifth issue is an Obadiah, Archer, and Faith date night type of thing.
Sweet. I'll definitely be picking up that trade. Is that a type of series where I can just pick up a random trade since I'm not really reading as much anymore?
Yeah, I think so. Like, the
basics. Because I read all the old stuff.
Yeah, like, I think you'll be able to fit in fine, like, because you know all the... Not that you need to know, but you have some background, so, you know, mm-hmm. you there shouldn't be anything confusing, really.
Well, I do say Valiant, they go and get established talent. You know, they don't... I mean, they have newer people as well, but I'm always impressed that they go out and grab whoever they can grab, you know what I mean? And not just new people, but they go and get these well-established.
Well, I think it's people that probably read Valiant when they were younger, you know? So they kind of have... Like, that's why they probably jump at the opportunity.
Yeah, I don't know about all those guys. Like, I kind of wonder if some of them are too young. Like, if you're an up-and-comer type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta think they're still... While they enjoy it, there's still a paycheck. You know, it's not fan art in a sense.
But why can Valiant do that, but Marvel can't do that for one book? Like, there's one book that you could have stolen any of the Valiant artists to draw that book, but instead they went in a different direction. Why, what Andrew?
Marvel is on this thing where they're doing a mix. They're getting new people and old people. But the other thing about...
And indie people.
Yeah. I mean, what I like about them is that they're casting a variety of nets to try and feed a bunch of customers. I doubt there's anybody that likes everything they put out. And that's a fine. If you're going to put out like 90 titles a month, pretty weird product if it was all the same stuff. I mean, you get that over at DC if you want the same book 60 times a month.
Whoa, what was that?
I'm getting in my digs for Marvel noise on the wrong show.
Do you not remember that time, Andrew, when I said Marvel's putting out... different books, every book isn't for me, so it's okay. And then someone pasted me one for saying that. Oh, Variety. And I was like, really? Like, if a company's putting out all the same book, I'm like, they're doing something wrong.
I agree. I'm on board with you. I mean, unless it's a small, like, if you want to have a small company and have a few titles and keep them kind of nested with a looker, I think that's reasonable. But if you're going to put out 90 titles or whatever, you need to reach far and wide.
Unless your net you're putting out there is we make all good books, like, then that's fine.
Yeah, but they're not all going to be the same.
I know.
I don't know how you. I mean, I don't know. It's some because doesn't, with the exception of the horror titles, I'd say Archie generally has a house feel. I mean, they always have their alternative books or whatever, but
yeah, it's like
generally they keep.
No matter what, if it's Betty or Veronica or Archie, it's all the same.
And that works for them, but they also aren't putting out 100 titles.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say their Sonic the Hedgehog and Mega Man are pretty, like, close art style. Their Archie, I think, seems to vary a little more now.
Well, with the new reboot, but yeah. I mean, that was their first reboot in how long, so...
Well, I would consider the horror line the first reboot.
Oh, yeah, that's a fair point.
Which they got to invest more titles and time into.
Well, isn't...
That was a big hit, and then they just kind of let it die off. You know?
But I don't know that there's the... You don't want to oversaturate, because then you kill the market.
No, but like 3-4 books, you know, is good. Or like how they were doing one-shots, like Sharknado, you know? Crossover, like things like that. Like, or the Predator one. Like, just throw out some minis now and then. But they really, like... I hate Archie, but they got me in on board, you know.
well, isn't one of the guys like working on the TV series too?
Oh, really? There's gonna be a TV show?
Yeah, that's why I thought like some of those books were delayed because he was like busy consulting on the TV series.
Interesting. I don't know if that will work good. Because it would work as a mini series, but I don't know if I'd want a full-on season of that, though.
Like, I thought it was
I have no interest in watching an art. I mean, I would much rather read an Archie comic over watching an Archie TV. I mean, isn't half the CW is like an art? It's a bunch of kids in high school.
Isn't it on the CW?
Yeah, so I'm sure it is.
It's not Afterlife with Archie show. It's just normal Archie.
Right, right. It's just going to be a bunch of high school kids.
Yeah, it's crap. And and you know what I heard is that Jughead was cast. They got a deaf actor because he's going to be a deaf goth type guy, like ladies man. So
but Jughead's not into chicks.
I know, that's the whole thing. Like, it's kind of crappy they changed him so much.
He's not into anyone. He's like into food.
They gotta have someone with a crown, like a hamburger eating guy.
Wow, that's his entire characterization. He wears a crown and eats hamburgers.
what else is there?
Now, I thought you wanted him to be a drug addict or something. Andrew, remember that episode?
I want him to be something more than a guy who wears a crown and eats hamburgers. Like, that's not doesn't seem like the stuff of Shakespeare.
His dog.
Yeah, he owns a pet. Wow, that really makes him outside the box.
Well, if you guys had to pick a favorite Archie character, who was it always growing up? You were young. I was a Jughead fan when I was young.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess I don't know. I always thought Veronica, I guess, looked pretty cool.
You friggin' pervert.
I'm telling you, I've read very little Archie. When it was time to get comic books, I was not. Well, you handed me an Archie, you would have gotten a pretty hard stare.
It was when you go to the cottage or something, and then, you know, the corner store has just those little Archies, you know.
Cottages up here, Phil. It's all about camps.
You live at a cottage.
I don't think that's really an insult.
I'm confused.
It made it seem like
you live in a $500,000 cottage, and I'm like, oh, thank you.
But there's no comic store around a cottage.
That's why I create my own comics.
Wi-Fi sucks. I would die.
Well, it was a few years ago where they had a sign up on some tree somewhere, and it says, "Internet now available in your area," and I'm like, yeah, probably. You know, you're out of the camp, so, yeah.
They're so far out they had to do satellite to get their internet.
Apparently.
Which is not cheap. That's an expensive route to go if you need internet and you got to use the satellite. But I think we've rounded the table on this mini bonus-ode of Indie Comic Book Noise. Thanks for joining us, and hopefully you'll get to hear this. And if not, we'll see you on the other side with an episode you do get to hear. Thanks!
Sorry for not being prepared.